Okay, well, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's July the 12th and it's Wednesday and it's 2017. And I'm with some wonderful hot believers, Phil Hudson and Rebecca Tor and little Mary. She's gone to bed now and we've had a really great day. I've had a great day at the Bristol Hippodrome with my wife and daughter and granddaughter, and God opened a door for her to stay behind with the competition winners and get her picture taken with the guys up on the stage. So God really organized that. What's really been in my heart is our relationship with God. You know, when we really do spend time with God in prayer and in his word, then God does communicate to us. Like, he really is working in you and me when we allow him that time. You know, when we give that time to God. And I was thinking about, you know, we pray and we give our desires to God, our problems to God, our worries to God. But do we ever take the time to listen to God? You know, once we've prayed, you know, are we listening for that direction for what he wants us to do in certain situations, how we should handle certain situations? God does give us wisdom, you know, when we go to him, when we're seeking his heart, his desire. One morning I woke up, it was on the 1st of July, which was 11 days ago. It was early morning, it was about 5:40 in the morning, and usually I take ages to wake up, you know, on one of these slow wakers. But I was crystal clear, so I got up and I went down, made a coffee. But I felt empty, you know, just felt really empty inside and didn't feel inspired. And I'm like, God, what is this? You know, bless me. That's all I prayed. Mm-hmm. And I walked to the back door while the coffee was pouring from the machine into my coffee cup. And I looked out in the back garden. And you know that power and presence of God that you feel inside and outside? The mm-hmm. presence of God just overwhelmed me. And I was just bathing, like it was like taking a morning shower with God. I was just bathing in this blessedness. I can't even describe it. And then a thought came to my mind, which was, say what you want, not what you see. And if you think, when we get up, we got choices every single day. We can either walk in the new man or walk in the old man. There's two choices every day. Like, if you think, there's faith, there's fear, there's victim, there's victory. What one are we going to decide to be today? Are we going to be the victim today? Well, everything's going against me. I got nothing going for me. The debts are piling up. The dishes are piling up. The dust is piling up. You know, everything is coming against me mentality. And sometimes everyone, the best of us, have those days. Sure. But it's when we make the switch in our mind to get God in on the situation. Is that's when you start to see your day. Sometimes it might slowly change, sometimes it might immediately change. But the truth is, we have a new man nature. And God has called us to walk in newness of life. He wants us to walk in that new man, that Christ in us, which is having on the mind of Christ, the thoughts of God, and to seek his heart and his will and direction. And sometimes when we got problems and situations in front of us, we say what the problem is. We say what our situation is. Well, this is the facts. Or this is truth. It's not truth. What you see is not truth. But the word of God is the truth. So when we start saying what we want rather than what we see, if we start saying what God says about our situations, this is the heart I'm saying it. What God inspires you to say, and the word that's living in your heart, when you declare what God says and believe that with all your heart and you're saying it with your mouth, then God can go to work in that situation for you and you will get the desired results. Now, I'm not saying that we confess to get. There's a different mindset there. I'm going to confess to get this riches and that riches. But when you're faced with stuff in life, and we all get challenges in different spheres and influences, and there's many different situations, too many to mention here right now, but they all come up in our life. But we need to learn to train our minds, and it's through our relationship that we learn to really say what God wants us to say. It's because we've been involved ourselves with what God has given us, that we've implanted his word through our reading. The word's implanted in our heart, but it's through our minds, you know, that what we've read, what we've understood, what we've searched out for. And even when it comes to reading and studying the word, it really needs to be led by God. So when we pray, God will put those thoughts and ideas in your heart. He'll inspire you with ideas like, okay, go and read this, go and read that. Or a scripture might come to your mind. Then when you go and read that, you're going to get a lot more out of that than rather just doing it right. I think I'll go and look at the life of Joseph today, because I know that he went through many problems, and I can really see how my life is kind of lining up with that and what I can do. Let God lead you. like we learn in Romans 8:14 that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So we can either be led by our five senses, our ideas, our reasonings, our knowledge, or we can be led by inspiration of God. When I had this fall, I'm thinking to myself, okay, Father, that I need to say what I want, not what I see, and I understand this. I started to think about the word and the confession of the word, that we speak to the mountain, we speak to the problem. Well, what do we speak to the problem? The problem? Because it still stays the problem.
Yeah.
But when we speak the solution, in other words, the promises of God. See, it's the promises of God, what God has already declared in his word, which are ours. All the promises of God are yes in Christ and amen in Christ. So those Old Testament promises are for us because we're in Christ, right? So they come through Christ. Can you see? So they are our promises. So like when God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 33:3, call on me and I will answer thee. Well, you've got direct access to the Father because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. See, you may not feel righteous, but you are righteous. That's the truth of it. Well, I'm not righteous because I'm always screwed. No, it's not your righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ, God in Christ in you. See, we are righteous, justified, sanctified, redeemed, not because of anything we've done, but because of what he done, what Jesus Christ done, his sacrifice, his laying down of his life. And God raised him from the dead, and when we believed him as Lord, we received all of that. Whether you feel righteous, whether you feel sanctified or redeemed, doesn't come into it. The truth is you are what God says you are. But do you know what God says you are? Do you know his promises to you? I started to look at this and I'm thinking, well, I do know these promises. It's like when God said to me, say what you want, not what you see. And yes, God said that to me. He spoke to my heart, to my mind, via that spirit in me. It was clear. It was evident. And I'm not basing it upon the feelings of feeling blessed either.
No, it's spiritual.
You just know. When God inspires you to do something, you know. When you're hesitant about something, what to do, where to go, you're not being inspired by God because you're hesitant. But when God puts something in your heart, nothing will stop you from accomplishing or saying or doing or going what God has put in your heart, right? So from that, the word prophet come to my mind. So I looked at the words prophet, prophesying, anoint, and vision. And I come across this verse in Ezra, Phil. I want you to go to Ezra chapter 6.
Yeah.
And I want you to read verse 14 for me, please.
6:14. Ezra chapter 6, verse 14.
Yeah.
And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia.
Right, so when I read this, I got tremendously, tremendously blessed. Because I know that it was through what Ezra was saying that they builded and prospered. And when I looked at the word prophesying, it's the Hebrew number 5017. And it's the only place in the Bible that you'll find this. And it says, and it basically means inspired teaching. Now, we know that they had the law. We know that Nehemiah and all these guys, Ezra stood up in the book of Nehemiah, we'll read it in a minute, Nehemiah chapter 8, that Ezra stood up and he read, and, you know, everyone stood up in respect for the law. So he gave the... He caused the people to understand through the reading of what he was reading. It was through the inspired teaching, the prophesying, what God was working in the prophets through that inspiration of God, that the people was able to build, and they prospered. Because they were following that direction, they were following that inspiration. And you know, when you get a teaching together, you can prepare a teaching. We know that we would say a lot more than what we've actually prepared. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Mm-hmm. Because God is working in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. God is working in us, fire that spirit. And we live in a different day and time to Ezra, to Nehemiah. We live in a total different time. We're not under no law. The point is, God worked in his prophets that way, right, to communicate to the people. If you go to, keep your finger there in Nehemiah, and go to Hebrews chapter 1. So God was just building this pattern up as I was going through the word. I spent 5 hours studying this, looking at the word prophets, prophesying, prophesied, and all these different types, and anoint, and all these words. So if you read
Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2.
Yes, please.
And God, who at sundry times and in diverse or many manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, have in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he have appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world.
So God, in the beginning, spoke to the fathers by the prophets. See, God wasn't directly speaking to the people. He was speaking to his prophets, like he spoke to Moses. And then Moses communicated that to Aaron, right? So Moses was like a god to Aaron, and Aaron was like a prophet for Moses, right? So God worked via people, and he was given the direction, the inspiration, what to say, what to do. You know, when he said, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. That word was coming from God, and it's recorded down for our learning, for us to see. So we can see that, you know, that's how God works, via his Spirit. Why have we got that Spirit? You know, in Acts 1:8, Jesus said to the guys before he ascended, that ye shall receive power, dynamis, right? That's potential power. What for? To move the word. It's through the Spirit of God that we move the word. We have the scriptures. We know what the scriptures say to us. They're very important, the scriptures. But the Spirit of God is also very important, and we need to understand that point. Now, we can go heavy on the Spirit, and we can go heavy on the scriptures. But there needs to be a balance, and I believe God has shown that balance from what I'm sharing right now. So if you go back to Nehemiah chapter 8, and if you could read verses 1 through to 8, Phil, and then we can just see the heart of the things.
Nehemiah chapter 8, 1 through to 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street, and that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, and before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mathaniah and Shimon and Ananiah and Uriah and Hilkiah and Messiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Padiash and Mishael and Malachan and Hashan and Hashabadad, Zechariah and Meleshalon. Then Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and he was above all the people. And when he opened, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads, and they worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and Bani and Shabbat and Jamin, Akkaab, calls the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctively, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading.
So there you have it. Basically, there you see they had the law, right? But it was these guys that could give them the understanding of it. They had to cause them to understand. And so we can have this word of God, but without that Spirit of God, you will not understand this word. Now, if you think of the two men on the road to Emmaus, okay, Jesus Christ opened up and shared about all the scriptures concerning himself, right? And he opened up their eyes. You know, he opened up his eyes, and their hearts burnt within them, right? And when they broke bread, then they realized it was the Lord, and he was taken out of his sight. But Jesus Christ was able to cause them to understand. And it's by that Spirit of God we can understand. So we need to see the balance of this. I'm not saying that we don't need the Word of God. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's all by the Spirit and we don't need the Spirit, right? But there is a balance. We need both of that. And when you've got those two working as it should work, then there's going to be power. The people are going to be built and edified. And that's what we do. We need to build the people up, and we need to edify them. And only God can do that. When we hold forth his word with truth, by his inspiration, by his direction, then the people are going to be built up. And then the other words I looked at was the word anoint. And anoint means to rub with oil, and it also means to paint. And so this reminded me figuratively that God paints his visions or thoughts in our minds. Right? He gives us his ideas, his concept, by that Spirit of God in us, we get inspired with different things, right? So God sets the vision and direction, and he directs his people by his Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's what it says also in Romans 8:14. So I also was reminded that Ezra, when he opened the scrolls, all the people stood up respect for the law. And we've read this. So the great thing about this is that God does inspire, and God will work in people in so many different ways. How he works with me is different to how he worked with you two and anybody else. You know, like everybody in the body of Christ, we're all individuals and he'll work with us differently. All of this was happening the same morning, what I'm going through now. And I was reminded the wedding of Preet Bains to Jonathan Sanderfield in Spain. And me and Kim went amongst other people. And there was one hot afternoon, it was a siesta time. So we went back to our hotel rooms and we just went to sleep. And I had this dream about the believers, and God was showing me specific things, which I can remember every detail, but I don't need to say every detail. And then the thing that God spoke audibly in the dream, very clearly, and it was, anoint my fields with oil, feed my people. And I woke up actually saying this out. And Kim said, what are you saying, love? And I said, anoint my fields with oil, feed my people. And then I kept saying it. And I was like, wow, I had this amazing dream. And God was showing me, and I told her the detail of the dream. And even she was blown away. I was blown away. And I shared it with a couple of other people that God showed me I could. I never really thought I had the sense of the dream and what those words meant. And I did, but I wasn't confident in it. And it wasn't until this morning that God spoke to my heart that I realised is that to anoint his fields with oil is that we speak by that Spirit, that anointing, all right? We inspire people with what he puts in our hearts, because there's so many different situations that go on. Like, we're not in the Old Testament. We're not even in the days of the apostles, right? We're in the 2017, and needs are different, right? But it's the same God, but needs are different, and they play out differently. And so God will address those needs as the need is, but we need him to work in us. Now, we need an understanding of his word, how he works. We can see how he works with his people through the scriptures. We can see how he spoke by the mouth of the prophets. We could see how he brought deliverance, how he brought judgment, how he reproved people, how he edified people, how God was a just and is, still is, a just and good God. God is always good, and he always has the needs of his people at the forefront of his heart, and he wants people to connect with him, to walk with him, to do what he puts in their heart. And that's what we have to do. We have to be bold in this day and time, because you've got so many different doctrines, you've got so many different angles. In fact, you will get lost if you're not being led by that Spirit of God, because anyone can open up the Bible and make it say what they want to say. Right, they can manipulate things. The devil even quotes scripture to Jesus Christ out of context with the wrong heart. We see that in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through to 11. Right, you read that record there yourself. And Jesus Christ, it is written. He was being inspired what to say back. He knew what to say back. And he always had a word to say to his accusers. What about the time when they brought the woman caught in adultery? Remember that time? And they said, you know, Moses in the law says that, you know, she should be stoned. What do you say? And what did he do? He was just down there. He just drew in the sand.
Wait for the revelation.
Whether he was meditating upon it, whether he was running scriptures through or records in his mind through it, whether he remembered the harlot, was it Rahab, was thinking about that situation, who knows? But he got the word from God. Yeah. No, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. God really wants us to speak. He puts in our hearts to speak, and sometimes we're not sure whether we should say that. We don't want to hurt someone. We don't want to be out of line. And we want to be biblically accurate, maybe, all right? But we got to speak forth those inspired words from God. Again, we do need the scripture, so we can see that there's a need for both of them. And I'm not trying to prove any points here. I'm just sharing what God was showing me and enlightening my heart with. You know, in this confession, what we say, you know, we speak unto that the mountain. You know, we do. We declare what? The promises of God. And God may put a word in your mouth to speak. It may be word orientated, and he may give you whole thoughts, ideas, and you can speak them forth. You can prophesy into people's lives. Mm-hmm. When you're being inspired, basically, is prophesying like the prophets did. I mean, the spirit that we have now is different to their spirit, because it was a spirit of servitude. Yeah. That it was on them that they on a condition that they serve. Ours is without measure, and we got a spirit of sonship. We got Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we can walk in authority and we can walk in power. As long as you do what God puts in your heart to do, as long as you do know what the Word of God says to you. You see, the studying of the Scriptures is for our own individual study, so that we know. We're to study to show ourself approved unto God, right? So I may be able to share if God shows me some of the things that I've worked. If God says, yes, you go ahead and you teach the people this, or you just instruct them, you know, because I've already given that study. I've got that word living in my heart, and I'm learning to put that word together by God. He's teaching me. See, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. That's the truth. No matter how good at someone is teaching, the one that will direct you is that gift of Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus Christ said. The Comforter, the Spirit I'm going to send you, he'll lead you into all truth. So we've got to let God work in us. And we shouldn't put anyone down wherever they're at in their walk, because God is big enough to show us, you know, what we need to do. I think we should concentrate on what we need to do and then bless people where we are at. You know, and if they want to receive it, let them receive it. If they don't want to receive it, don't let them receive it. It's up to them. We need to know what the Word of God says to us, and we need to recognize when God's speaking with us and when he's shown us something, and then we need to be bold enough to declare it, because sometimes God is showing people things, but they're not saying it out because of someone else might have a lot more knowledge and they're too scared to say anything, or someone else is very good at speaking and putting other people down with what they're saying. But you say what God puts in your heart and you be bold. God wants us to be bold to declare his word. And when God is working in you, it will line up with his word. It will line up all the way through with his word, because God is the one that's directing it. God is the one that's given that inspiration. I wrote that book about watch what comes out of your mouth, your confession. I know some people kind of put it down, oh, you're just saying this to get what you want. No, it's not that. There is a principle in there about what we confess. And a lot of people that I know and I've come across in my life, and I've even done it myself, we get confronted with a situation, we get confronted with a problem, and we just confess that problem. Oh, I got this going against me. I can't move because of this situation. Or, you know, there might be a law that's been set up that restricts you from doing something. Well, if God tells you to do something and the law says you can't do it, what are you going to do? Are you going to do what God says for you to do? See, that's it. We should do what God shows us to do. Because don't you think God's going to cover those things that the law says you shouldn't do if God's told you to do it? Right, if the law started saying that you've got to start every month, someone from each road has to sacrifice their life because the population's too big, would you follow that law? No one would follow that law, right? Yeah. So the only law that we should follow is the law of the life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus, which has made us free from the law of sin and death. I expect people to pick holes in my teaching here, but, you know, I'm saying from my heart what I understand from the Scriptures I know and how God is working in my life. And God has blessed me all the days of my life. And he's blessed me all the way from the time I've been born again right to this point now. And I've been through many different situations, many different opinions of other people and stuff like this. But there comes a time when we got to take a stand on what we understand and know and move with that and encourage people. Our life is to be a blessing to people, to connect them to God, not to us. Is to, like in India, for an example, the guys there, no one wants to be the leader because they know Jesus Christ is the leader, but they work together as leaders. That's a really humble thing. Mm. Now, great things are happening. You know, there's some great testimonies on the blog that Ashley shared, and I put them on the blog. You know, even one lady that was told that she would never have a baby, you know, went for tests and everything. The mother prayed for the daughter, and in the dream she had this angel appear to her, which was 40 foot, carrying a baby, and he woke her up and said, I have this baby. He said, well, I don't need that. I'm praying for my daughter. And then it was a baby boy. And then, anyway, a few months later, the daughter that was told that she'd never have children had a baby boy. And it, wow. You know, but you want to go and listen to the testimony. It's on the blog under Testimonies from Ashish Dahl. So the point is, you know, where is that written in the Scripture for that person? See, God is working. He's communicating all the time. What about all the Muslims, right, that are having Jesus Christ appear to them, okay? And they probably haven't heard of Jesus Christ as we understand Jesus Christ. and they're becoming born again and they're seeking. It's impossible actually to put God in a box. You know, we put in a box, we put ourselves in a box. You can never put God in a box, right? God, you can't contain God, he's unlimited. You can't put him in a box. We say that saying, oh, you're putting God in a box. No, you're putting yourself in the box. But let God work in us. It's by that spirit that he's working in us. He's leading us, he's guiding us, and we need to have confidence in that. And we also need to know what his word does say. But he will give you the understanding. The Spirit of God will cause you to understand that through your study, through your working of the Word of God. And this is just stuff that's really big in my heart. And so I want to look at more on this confession. So if you go to Romans chapter 4, Phil, Romans chapter 4, and in verse 17 I want you to read, please.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
So God, he calls those things as not as though they were. We're his children. We can also do that. But what do we call? We call his word, all right? We say his promises over our situations. We can pray his promises as well. Have you ever prayed the word to God? Have you ever said, God, well, your word says this? You know, God watches over his word to perform it, but he's working in us, and he can give you inspired words to say to people. And when you speak those forth with all boldness and confidence, not worrying about what someone's going to say to you, then I tell you what, you're going to start seeing some great things happen. And you just need to be confident in the spirit that God's given you, as well as being confident in the word to you. Can you see? And it's, sure. and if people start going to the word themselves, under the direction of God, letting God show them where to go, what to work, what to go through, what to understand, then you're going to see some great, wonderful truths. It might go against other people through their knowledge of the word. See, have we got the knowledge of the word according to man's wisdom, or have we got the knowledge of the word according to God's wisdom? The Pharisees, they thought they had it all. Right, because they had the scrolls, they had the law. But they kept God's people in bondage rather than in freedom. And it was Jesus Christ that come along. He stood out like a sore thumb. What's this guy saying? Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? He's just a carpenter's son. Because they were saying what they saw in front of them. We need to say what we want, not what we see. They looked at the person. People would just look at, oh, that's just Lawrence. He says things like this. Hold on a minute. He might be speaking by God. And it might be someone that we also know that they might. So, you know, you can't just brush people off. And you go to God and he will show you. When you ask God questions, he will give you the answers. And do you know what? 9 times out of 10, when I've gone to God on a situation about someone or a situation, then God has put a scripture in my heart to go to and answered the question that way.
Sure.
You know, and he's just revealed these things to give me an understanding, so I got direction, because God wants us to have direction. He doesn't want us to be at loose ends. He wants us to know and to be certain. And through his word, you can be certain, and the Spirit confirms that certainty. Can you see? So it doesn't take you off. But we don't want to become people that are harsh and hard with other people. Maybe someone might not be seeing the way that you're teaching, and we can become judgmental of other people. And we don't want to do that. We really don't. We've got to keep a tender heart. See, faith is energized through love. And so God calls those things not as though they were. So is God wrong then? Should he be saying that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can't say that. Oh, no, it was only for God to say that. Has given this ability, right, via that spirit. So God also said, and it become. Let's go to Genesis, and we're nearly finished here. Genesis chapter 1. Would you like to read, Bex?
Yeah,
Genesis
sure.
chapter 1, and I'll ask you for each verse to read out, all right? So Genesis chapter 1, verse 3.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Verse 6.
And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.
Verse 11.
And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so.
Verse 14.
And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years.
Verse 20.
And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven.
Verse 22.
And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth.
Verse 24.
And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so.
Verse 26.
And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them that have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
And verse 29.
And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat.
So basically God said, and it became. God spoke those things, and it became. That saying is that what you say, if you say you're poor, you're right. If you say you're rich, you're right. Say what God says about you. That's what we say. That's what our confession should be. Is what God says. So when you feel that you're defeated, you say, no, I am more than a conqueror. When you feel that someone else or a situation is stronger than you, no, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. See, it's not in our strength, but it's what God says we are. We say what God says. When we say what God says, we're sowing seeds. The tongue is a creative force. What you say is what you're going to reap. You know, when you read Matthew 13, when Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, really, we are farmers. And so we are not responsible for the outcomes of things, but we are responsible to speak the word. Now, when we're speaking that word, what type of ground is it going in? There's only four reactions to the word, right? Yeah. When it goes into the right ground, it's going to produce fruit in the person that has been spoken to. Mm-hmm. Now, the farmer, when he sows his seed, he's not going there and digging up his seed to check on it, mm-hmm. is he? So when we speak forth the word, we shouldn't have to go and, well, I taught you the word, you should know this by now. No, we don't check the seed, right? The word has been sown, and God says he sends forth his word where it pleases him, and it will accomplish the thing wherein he sent it, and it's not going to return back to him void. So we're to speak the word. It's going to produce what God wants it to produce. And the heart that's received that, it could be the right heart, the wrong heart, a half-hearted. We've had all different types of people in front of us. And there's people that we've sown the word to. I spoke the word to you, Becky. How many years ago? All those years ago.
Yeah.
And it's produced what? Fruit. Jason comes to my fellowship. Where did Jason come from? God, obviously, but through you. You spoke the word to Jason. So it's a knock-on effect. See, that word went to work in the person's heart. God is the one that is working in his people. Okay, we have our functions, we have our roles. All of us have got functions, and we adapt in our functions and how God works in us. And we can't make someone to be who we think they should be. Or, you know, I know the word of God, so they should be doing this. No, how is God working in that person's life? We've been called to liberty. When we start saying, no, you're not walking right, or you're not doing this right, according to my understanding, then what happens? Now, I'm not saying we should get wishy-washy. When you know that the word says something and someone's doing something to hurt them, then you bring them back to the word. But can you see what I'm saying? God is working in each person in a different way because they're different people. And that word will produce in them where their faith takes them. So we just need to speak forth what God puts in our heart. And when we wake up and we're faced with challenges, it's up to us if we're going to walk in that new man or that old man. And if you're walking in the old man, you're going to be saying the old man things. If you're walking in the new man, you're going to be saying the Christ-like things, the things which are the promises of God, the things that will cancel out the negativity that's coming against you and how the adversary's working. And God is working in you. And in Galatians 5:1, it says, Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. I haven't made you free. None of the great teachers that have taught me has made me free. It's Christ that's made me free. Whether I understand the word of God or not, whether I understand someone speaking by the Spirit of God or not, Christ has made me free. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am free indeed. I am a child of the Most High God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. It doesn't matter what someone says about me. It doesn't matter what someone thinks about me. And I used to be so concerned about what other people think about me, but I don't care no more. I really don't care what they think about me, about what I'm doing. Because the point is, I got to do what I believe is right in my heart according to my understanding and according to how God works in me. And it's the same with you. When we start thinking that way, then we can start rising up and God can start getting the things done that he wants to accomplish through your life. Because he has a plan, he has a purpose, and it's by his grace that any of us stand. It's through his favour, it's through what Jesus Christ accomplished. And it's not through our works. Not even studying the Bible, not even speaking prophecy. It's not any to do with that. It's about what Jesus Christ made available. And when we get things into a proper perspective and balance, we ask God for that proper perspective and balance, we start seeing through the eyes of God, the eyes of Christ, and we let God work in us, and we let God direct what we're doing in our study, in our fellowship, in our teaching. You know, if God shows me to get a teaching together, which he usually 100% usually does, 90% I've worked the word, and then it might come out all different because God is working, and we have to allow God that room to work. God may say don't do fellowship tonight, then don't do it. God may say do one every night, then do it. Whatever God works in you, when you know it's from God, it will produce fruit. It will produce something. If what you see with your five senses is overwhelming, then you start declaring the promises of God. Stand in your sonship rights. You are righteous, justified, sanctified. Say what you want, not what you see. What do we want? We want the promises of God to come to pass. So if we're not prospering and being in health, we start declaring that we have that abundant life. We start saying that we are the head and not the tail. That we're blessed when we lie down. We're blessed when we come out. We're blessed when we go in. We start saying what the Word of God says. Because God is for you. He really is for every single person. And he doesn't want us to be so judgmental. We let him do the judging. But we do the ministry of reconciliation. That's everyone's responsibility, is to hold forth the word. And we can encourage one another. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which we don't. We fellowship regularly. And there can be a lot more of that. And go to the word for your answers, because it's in there. You can see how God worked, how he worked through Moses, how he worked through Joshua, how he worked through Samuel, how he worked through Elijah, all the great prophets. You've got the minor prophets, the major, all these type of, all the people that he worked through. You know, when you think that when you do what God says, he's going to bless you. If you look at, was it Jonah? God told him to go to speak Nineveh, the city, right? And he went the other way. And what happened? He ended up in the whale's belly until he cried out from the depths of the whale's belly and God heard his prayer. Okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. All right, and when we do what God wants us to do, then God will get his work accomplished. We get blessed. And the people that we delivered to the message to will either get blessed or judged. Just like in that time, you know what I mean? But it's not up to us, the outcome. You see, we all try to get an outcome somewhere, but then whose work are we doing? Is it what we think we should be getting? Or do we just speak forth the word of God and that's it? And then whatever God instructs us in those situations. If you look at the prophets, they were mostly on their own. Can you see? They've done what God put in their heart, like when Nahum come for healing. The prophet didn't go out there to him, did he? He sent his servant out. What? Do you think God was working in his heart to do that? Yeah, I think God was. Because look at the great outcome that ended up, and the respect and the love and the deliverance. I just encourage you, let God work in your heart when it comes to study of the word. You study the word. You go to the word of God. Let him show you what to study. Ask him, Father, put in my heart what you want me to look at. No, pray to him. You know, spend time with God. Give him that time to speak to your heart. And if you've got to get up a great while before the day like Jesus Christ done, then do that as well. So this is just some of the things I wanted to encourage and share, just to bless you. And you can consider it. I'm not saying I'm 100% right, and I'm not saying I'm wrong either. I'm just saying what I understand and what God's working in me. And this study on the prophets and the word prophesying, have a study them. Have a look at yourself. Go through all the places. 5.5 hours. I haven't even gone through all the places. Only a few of them. Because you start reading records in those places and you start getting very blessed. And you're like that one in Nehemiah. In Ezra 6, 14. That blew me away. And I looked at that word, prophesying. And it's inspired teaching. And that really, really blessed me. And God had it put there, even though it's only one place of that. And we know the record in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show ourselves approved. So we see the need for this word of God. We see the need to speak by the Spirit of God. Let God work in you. And God is working in you. And we, you know, also understand that you're not responsible for the seed of the word. That's God's job. We, the farmer, don't dig up his seed to see how it's growing in the earth. And we don't have to go digging into people's lives, right? God will reveal what needs to be done. And then we just encourage people. That's our job, encourage. Ministry of Reconciliation. Someone asked me a question, should they go and tell this person off? And I said, well, that's an unbeliever. The person that asked me was a believer. Wanted to go and say this to a certain thing to an unbeliever. And I said, well, what does the word say? The word says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their sins against them. We don't go around counting people's sins against them. We declare the Saviour from the sin, right? That people can be delivered, they can be set free. Can you see? That's what we declare to people. And we give them the freedom and the love of God and what God has made available in Christ. That's what we speak forth to people. And do you know what really, our real primary job is? Is to speak the word. That's it, to be those ambassadors for Christ. That is our job. When Jesus was with his disciples, he had times when he was with them, but the majority of time he sent them out to go and speak the word. They weren't just sitting at home all day, or they weren't just going from fellowship to fellowship. They were out there speaking the word. What did Paul do? Out there speaking the word. When they were being persecuted, who was out there speaking the word? Philip and the rest of the believers, they went out there speaking the word. What happened to Thessalonica when the persecution came? They were out there speaking the word. Paul was out there speaking the word. That's where we all should be out there. But we all like to be behind our desks and on our pulpits. We should be out there speaking the word. So that's what I want to share. God bless you.
Sure.